Hello again. Welcome to another edition of the Mountain View Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trammell. It's the holidays, November 2nd.
Holidays. Does Halloween count as a holiday?
I'm celebrating. Celebrating it all.
Celebrate.
Joined as always by my host,
Todd Reynolds. Good to be with you, Steve.
Todd, thanks. Thanks for getting with us, man. We had a good week, I guess. I mean, it was a wild week. We had a young people's retreat, which we've had for years, and so the people are less young.
Right.
As we've retreated.
The teachers are definitely less young.
It's like a middle-aged retreat. But then we had Joe Phillips' funeral, and so, you know, funerals, I mean, even when you know they're coming, it's still, man, it's like an opportunity to think about the end of life, and you stand in a place where you've buried a bunch of other people, and man, I mean, McDonald and Son, I guess I'm going to have to get buried there too, or, you know, go through my funeral service. I mean, I'm on a first name basis with all the guys at this point.
No, absolutely. And, you know, it's a sad thing to say goodbye to a soldier like Joe, but it's also, can you imagine Joe right now? Like, do you think he's met Abraham at this point?
He's freed from something. Well, yes. Hopefully you'd meet him if you're in his bosom.
Well, that's what I was thinking when someone said that to me. I was like, well, Abraham's bosom is kind of stop numero uno.
Yeah, however that works out. But I think, you know, as you just reflect on those things, I'm glad the Bible gives us so many little bits of information, just their wisdom. I mean, wisdom right. about the end of life, wisdom about life under the sun in general, and it kind of got us thinking about stuff. You were thinking about some passages from Ecclesiastes that just kind of help us while we're alive.
Yeah, just some little nuggets. So that's kind of the theme tonight is nuggets from Ecclesiastes. You know, when we're at a funeral like Joe's, it's almost universally referred to that it's better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting, and the living take it to heart. And you know, that's one of those gems in the book of Ecclesiastes that stands out. But there's a lot of practical things about words that we speak and how we react to words that others speak and words that we shouldn't speak. Those are certainly some highlights that I want us to hit tonight. And when we do a podcast like this, it's kind of got some related topics, but it's kind of like a shotgun where we're just hitting a lot of different topics.
Well, let's talk about nuggets for a second. So kids go to Chick-fil-A all the time. And I like a chicken sandwich. I like to feel like I've got something substantial. I don't go up there and order 4 nuggets or 5 nuggets.
You're a grown man, you would order like 20 nuggets.
And so when you talk about nuggets, I feel that way too about the Bible sometimes. I like these big themes, or I've got, you know, some grand plan to talk about or some big thing. But a lot of these verses that God gives us, unorganized, like the Proverbs.
I mean, yeah, and there's a lot of that. I mean, there's definitely a theme in the Ecclesiastes, you know, the meaning of life and what is it all about. But then there's a lot of various and sundry nuggets,
nuggets that
are somewhat not related to one another.
Well, and when you eat a bunch of nuggets, I mean, it amounts to a meal. That's kind of what I was going to say.
Oh, excellent. Well, I like that. And I definitely would say this with respect to how I like nuggets. It sure beats like a live chicken that's living and breathing and got feathers and running around.
Yeah, God gave us just what we needed. And the thing with nuggets too, and I don't want to take the analogy too far,
but they're all
a little different. You know, the nuggets are all a little different. Sometimes you pick up one and it's a little meatier than others.
Oh, interesting.
And, you know, different shapes and sizes. So I appreciate what you're doing tonight. Maybe a little different podcast, but let's dive into Ecclesiastes and see what the writers got for us.
Yeah, and one thing about the nuggets, like if you don't like a nugget, then guess what? There'll be something different coming in a minute.
That's like, it.
With respect to this podcast.
Let's just keep talking. I'm hungry.
10-4. A couple of things I want to hit on a couple of these themes that are kind of related is the words that we speak and how those can be impactful, and the words that others speak and how we need to try to be immune to that. So the first nugget is Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20 says, furthermore, in your bedchamber, do not curse a king, and in your sleeping room, do not curse a rich man, for a bird of the heavens will carry the sound, and the winged creature will make the matter known. So, this is a verse that says, be careful, because things that you say will become public if you're not careful. And you may not be happy about something going public that you didn't intend to go public.
This was before social media.
Yes. Yes. This is maybe Solomon foreseeing social media in a prophetic sense.
So some funny stuff's been happening lately. I don't know if you kept with the news. We haven't talked about it personally, you and I, but Elon Musk buying Twitter.
Yeah. And then like firing everyone.
Firing a bunch of people. But lately what's been happening, and I don't know if you've seen this.
No, I'm not a news guy.
So you remember how they would fact check anything Trump would say with a little fact check thing at the bottom? Like Trump would tweet something and there'd be a fact check like, well, not so fast. You should read this.
And that was like Twitter did that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They were doing that too.
I didn't know that.
You know, conservative voices, things like that. Anyway, well, now that Elon's taken it over, he's doing the same thing to Biden.
Oh, nice.
So Biden sent out a tweet today that said, hey, guys, you know, I've worked real hard to give you guys a Social Security increase. So next year you're going to get, you know, 8% more cost of living increase next year, thanks to my hard work. And that got a giant fat check mark at the bottom that said, hey, the only reason this is going up is because of the compounded inflation that's making everybody's life miserable.
Right.
And so the fact that you're taking credit for it's not good. They said it in a lot nicer way than that. He deleted the tweet.
Oh, wow.
Or his administration. I mean, obviously, I don't think Biden's sitting there writing him.
Right.
But you want to talk about what this verse is saying. Man, we live and breathe this stuff every day.
Yeah. And you know, it's just one of those, to me, it's kind of interesting language, the way it says a winged creature will take it and make the matter known. But we've been there. We've said things or we've written things down and somehow it got out. And
is it prophesying Twitter?
Like, I don't know. What I was saying. Solomon had some prophetic foreknowledge.
Yeah.
The tweet is birds tweet, you know, so, you know, there's a tie in
nuggets.
But he's like, just tell us, you know, don't engage in that. And if you're someone, and we talked about self-control in our Bible class tonight, this is another one of those verses that is basically saying, have some self-control. You don't have to share every thought that you have that's negative about someone, even if it's true. And here he's like, you know, there's rich people or people in positions of power, and you know, maybe it's easy to talk about them, but it's like, be careful and don't do this because it's going to come back to bite you.
Well, and it's a lesson for kids. I mean, I've had the conversation with Amelia and others. As you're growing up, you're sharing things. A lot of times they share things about other girlfriends or guys or whatever. That stuff gets out.
Yeah.
You don't know who you can trust. And here's kind of my advice to her. You can't trust anyone except Jesus.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, you really can't.
Right.
I mean,
Jesus is, he's it.
Well, and people may have good intentions. They may have never broken your trust before, but you can't trust another person with information.
Yeah, that they're going to make a wise decision with some information that you've given them. You know, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but it's not their news that they're sharing. It's your news. And so maybe it's not as important to them.
Well, that's the idea of this verse, right? You feel like you're safe, nor in your bedroom curse the rich.
Right.
You know, you're not getting out and making some public tweet. I mean, here, you're in the confines of your close circle.
Right.
I mean, nobody here is going to hear about it. But, man, it's going to get out.
Yeah.
And that's why it's just better not to say it. He even goes so far at the very first part of the verse, don't even think it.
Yeah.
You don't even have your thoughts go there. That's kind of scary. What do you think about that? I mean, even your thoughts don't curse the king?
Well, I mean, certainly when Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, you know, there's things that we can let fester in our heart and, you know, it could easily come out if it's in our heart.
It's going to come out.
Yeah.
It's going to come out. That's the thing. If you're sitting there thinking evil things, you're going to say, something's going
to
come out.
Have you ever had someone say something to you and it just like hit a nerve and then you start, because that happens sometimes when you and I are talking, you'll say something and I don't plan to just start divulging or just like letting Niagara Falls loose, but maybe you hit a nerve and what does that really reveal? Well, it reveals that I had already had some thought about that And maybe I didn't control that thought. And then as soon as that nerve gets, or that button gets pushed, or that nerve gets hit, then all of a sudden I'm just like, and
we're waiting. Really, we're waiting for it to come out.
For someone to touch that nerve so that we can get some.
It's like, I've been thinking about this all day. I can't wait to tell you.
Yeah, right,
and,
right.
And you're right. I mean, when it's in there, Satan can just prompt a couple things to happen.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
I don't know. I'm going to have to do some meditating on this after the podcast and probably will not share any of the results of that meditation later. But I got to give some thought on how I can be better about certain things. Because some things I think about and then later it comes out in words that I speak that are not edifying. I definitely, there's a component that you just need to control that. But there's some things that, you know, someone says something or does something, and it's hard not to react to that in some manner. Because you can't just live your life being asleep or unconscious and you don't have any of those forces that are working on your heart or your mind.
Last thing I'll say about this too, I mean, the only problem with any of this is what's being said. So if you're saying positive things, kind things, loving things, against such there is no law.
Yeah.
So we're having to guard ourselves because the rider knows somebody's probably making you mad.
Yeah.
The leaders are probably bad.
Right.
And the rich who are abusing you,
right,
and all of this. I mean, you're dragging yourself home and you finally are like, I've had a rough day.
Right.
That's the stuff we need to guard against. Like, when your speech is seasoned with salt, you can shake that thing everywhere.
Yeah, then it's awesome. Have you ever been in a meeting? I remember a couple of years ago, we were in a meeting on Microsoft Teams, and someone thought that they were chatting to their coworker friend, and they put it on a public thread.
This
speaker's an idiot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe he's saying something this dumb.
Brutal.
That happened one time a couple of years ago. This is the same company I'm at now. And this lady was like, I'm terribly embarrassed.
The lady was speaking?
No. The lady who was guilty of...
Oh, she said that.
She said something really rude and insensitive and kind, and it went out to everyone on the... We read it, and we were like, wait, what?
Wow. And you know that's going on all the time anyway.
No, yeah.
Because people are evil.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, but be careful. It's the
control yourself.
Yes, yes, exactly.
That was a nugget with some sauce. That was good. What's the next one?
The next one is kind of related, because the first point is be careful about what you say. But the second point is, when someone else is doing the talking, how do you react to that? And for that, we're going to go back to, and this is a good one, you know, for your parents out there with kids, because kids have not learned self-control in so many circumstances. And the truth, same is true for us as adults. But this one I think is good for, like, I want to teach my kids this one. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21. Also, do not take seriously all words which are spoken, so that you will not hear your servant cursing you.
Ooh, let me read the English Standard.
Ooh, yeah, let's hear it.
Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you.
Yeah. And so, see, the first one's saying, keep your mouth shut. And then the second one's saying, when someone else doesn't keep their mouth shut, how do you react to it? And I love what he says. That's what I tried to tell my kids in a lot of conversations, is you don't even need to care what someone thinks. You don't, if someone, you know, says something derogatory, or you don't like how someone treats you, or you feel like someone's judged you, like, let it go. There's no reason to take that so seriously that it disturbs your equilibrium or your like mental stability. It's just not worth it.
Well, let's go back to the Teams chat thing. So what would be the right response for the speaker who just reads that this person blasted them publicly on accident, still did it?
Well, I mean,
like, what should they say?
Couple of things there. I mean, I think they should consider the source, probably. I mean, this is just some loose canon that probably doesn't represent, you know, the opinion of people at large. Now, maybe they do represent a majority of people's views, in which case there might need to be some self-reflection. But what he says in this verse, he says, you might hear someone cursing you. You might hear someone saying something negative about you, it's one person's view. It doesn't define you. And maybe what they're saying is right, and you need to make some correction, but don't let it just lead you into some like depressed or extremely discouraged state. Now that's easier said than done, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. Like words hurt.
Yeah.
And so that's a reality. But I think it's a great point for us to not take words that others speak. You know, maybe it's a jab. Maybe someone's kind of joking, but the way they joke about us is a little bit of a jab. You know, I do that to people sometimes. So if someone does that to me, then let it ride.
Can we chat about the bookends here? Like, can I just bring up a couple of verses?
Yeah, no. I mean, so, bring up any nugget that you have.
So the verse prior, surely there's not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins.
Right.
And tag that with the verse after, your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others.
Oh, yeah. No, we had to go to verse 22 because we've been guilty of it 100 times. Like we say something negative about someone, something someone said, something someone did. You know, probably we've done it so many times. If we had to, you know, give an account of that, like we might be shocked if God said, you've actually done that 700,224 times, you know, whatever. But we've all been guilty of that. And when we did it, did we like think we were like revealing some deep truth? No, we were just making a comment about a thought that came through our head. It wasn't some huge big deal thing. Now we should probably not said it, but the point is that when other people said it, don't take it so seriously.
Right. And the point is, and why I wanted to bring some of those up, you kind of have to look at yourself and say, yeah, I'm sure I've been guilty of some of that too.
Yeah.
Here I was talking about a speaker. Here I was talking about somebody. They're no better than me. I'm no better than them.
Right.
And so that brings us down a notch. Maybe it's right. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe they shouldn't have done it. But that's kind of the thing that jabs you in the heart, right? Is I'm cut to the heart because I'm guilty.
Right.
And when I see someone else doing something dumb, can I really stand before them in innocence?
Yeah.
And we're really not that innocent.
Yeah, that's right. I've got a funny quote here. This is from Charles Spurgeon, kind of about what people think and what you think. This is classic. If any man thinks ill of you, do not be angry with him, for you are worse than he thinks you to be.
Wow. Okay.
You know, so someone thinks bad of you and you're like, well, that person always thinks bad of me. Well, Spurgeon is like, you're worse than he thinks you are.
Yeah, they don't even know like, the real you.
Like they may think poorly of you in some ways, but they're probably just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
You know. So that's something I think for us to remember and something to kind of go along with, you know, the message here in Ecclesiastes 7:21.
No, that's great. It's a good nugget.
All right. Let's hit another nugget. And this one with respect to words that are spoken is the words that we have as we come before God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. It's kind of a little sub theme here about like sins of the tongue, things that we say. And when it comes to God and then just in general, like say a lot less just in general. Let your words be few.
Communication. It's one of those things that is sets us apart from a lot of the other
right.
creatures that God created and live here. I mean, animals have ways to communicate. They do various things, but the depth and the richness of our language,
right?
I mean, it's unmatched,
right.
The nuance. And as I've been going through some random school classes, I mean, in history, that's just one of the most impactful finds anyone can make is someone's language.
Right.
And some of the ancient languages we've been beneficial in being able to interpret them. You know, there's some
right.
joint mechanism. It's written in multiple languages and you can kind of figure out one from the other, but some, you don't even know what they were saying, written on walls or written on pottery or written right. on other things. and you don't know, and you just wonder what they say, because that stuff is so precious. Mm. When you can, because what you say tells you everything,
right,
about what someone's feeling, what they're struggling with, what was important to them,
right?
You know, what they were doing, even a list of groceries from 4,000 years ago would be a priceless find to just right. understand these things. And so fast forward to our day and what he's saying here about what we say, there ought to be some preciousness to the things we say.
Right, right. Thoughtful words spoken, certainly as we come before God and in the house of God, you know, he starts the chapter in chapter 5, guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. I mean, like in our worship and in our interaction with God himself, may God help us not to offer the sacrifice of fools.
I agree. That's hard.
It's hard words, and you know, I'm not even sure. I just know we need to be sober minded. I think there's times when we're joyful. I think we get super excited. I get super excited when I'm singing hymns sometimes. And you know, I think about David saying that he was dancing before the Lord, and he was just seeking to praise God. And we need to sometimes let loose of our emotions a little bit. But we also need to just remember the flip side, which is Ecclesiastes 5:1, is a reverence, you know, a continual, you know, reminder of God's transcendence.
Yeah, and the next verse, I mean, he explains, for a dream comes after much business, and a fool's voice with many words.
Mm, right.
And so, you know, a dream comes from a lot of activity, and a fool is going to be known by a bunch of stuff that he says. So I think the reason he's talking about this is not because we can't and shouldn't say a lot. I mean, you think about what's happening at the throne. I mean, forever and ever, we're going to be praising God. We're going to be saying good things.
Right.
There's a continual sound of people and things praising God.
Right.
God's not saying, hey, I don't want to hear that, but on Sundays.
Yeah, right, right.
The problem is, left to ourselves, the multitude of words just makes us sound foolish.
Yeah.
It's what we say
yeah.
that you just need. The solution is just shut your mouth. Like, right. just stop it. We had a podcast on some of this stuff where we talked about saying too much and saying too little.
Right, right.
But again, it's a good reminder, because I'm sure no one did anything different after hearing the podcast.
Yeah, so we're just going to...
If I didn't do anything different after hearing the podcast, what does this look like? I mean, what does this look like practically?
Well, I think we probably could think of some people that we would consider wise brothers or sisters in the kingdom that don't just rattle off idle words, or don't just talk, you know, and you know, as you said, verse 3 reminds us that when there's a lot of words, I'm thinking about a verse in the Proverbs that says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. You know, it looks like people that are just much more thoughtful, that use their words, you know, in a powerful, meaningful way. They talk less and say more because they're thoughtful about what they say. And they've acquired wisdom, right? Because they've lived a life of obedience to God, or they've asked God for wisdom and God has given it to them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, verse 7, I mean, I'll end this nugget on this. Just the middle of the verse. When words grow many, there is vanity.
Mm.
That's just the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, we just got to be careful, because we, like we talked about earlier, what's in our heart, it's going to come out of our mouth.
And
so,
right.
Like every sports show, most podcasts, it could be our podcast.
Yeah.
Didn't we shut the other one down early? Like when we were talking about let your words be few. Like
we were probably like, we got to stop.
We need to stop. But we're not God. And we really don't have a lot of things worth saying.
Right.
If we're repeating the things God says, then that's good, and praise God for that.
And that's what we're certainly trying to do here.
If it's from men, stop it.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you doing? Doesn't matter.
Yeah. All right, two more nugs.
Two more nuggets?
So five,
a five count.
It's a 5 pound.
That's what Chick-fil-A changed their kids' meals to.
Yeah, exactly.
Not four, not six.
Exactly. Five. I mean, we could do it. We could do a 30 count if you want.
I don't think people are ready for that meal. That's a family meal.
Yeah.
You need a family. This is a good snack.
Yeah. This one, we're going to stick with the theme of kind of words that are spoken. Here's one where he just specifically says, don't say this. And we've probably all said it or said something like it. We've definitely heard it said. Chapter 7, verse 10. Do not say, why is it that the former days were better than these? Who does that sound like?
Everyone.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, you know, someone talking about, well, the good old days when I was a kid, you know, gas was 5 cents a gallon.
It was. I mean, I'm talking about the good old days. I'm talking about like 2019.
No, I hear you, dude. Pre-COVID. I hear you. Pre-COVID prices were on planet Earth.
Yeah, things are okay. You know, 2% interest rates. Life was good.
No, it was good. 2%. I never got a 2% loan.
You didn't ask.
May I please have a 2% loan?
Didn't they raise it again today?
I think they were going to. I didn't see the final
word. 0.75.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I think that's good because, I mean, we don't get off on that tangent, but this hyperinflation has got to be controlled.
So you do it just by crushing the multiple realtors we have in our congregation?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, we better pick up the slack for them.
No. We're going to have to take up some special collections.
We have to do it, man. We can't let them die on the vine here.
I mean,
They got us all here to Mountain View.
The loans were going to like 7% before this, so they might be going to 8.
I don't know.
But here's the thing. This kind of is a consistent theme with even in the New Testament where Paul says, Philippians 3, 13 and 14, forget those things which are behind. You know, we can talk about how great things used to be. And I think we remember things in the past better than they really were. You know, there's something about us sometimes that kind of blocks out some bad memories, and then we remember something, you have some nostalgic moment, and it's like, wow, those were good days. Well, they were good days. I mean, and it's just, you know, something that you experienced. But what he specifically says is don't say, why were those days better than these days? Like, your current state is just much worse. Now, we may have some difficult circumstances in our current state, but he says it's not wisdom to just live in the past or live in the good days, the good old days. Paul says in the New Testament, forget those things which are behind and press forward to what is ahead, you know, because what we have is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, this ultimate prize that we're striving for. And you're not going to push forward toward the prize or the crown of life if you're just talking about the old days.
Let me read you what Adam Clark said. This is a guy from hundreds of years ago.
This is going to be good.
But it's good to get his perspective, right, on this verse hundreds of years ago.
He's got more wisdom than I have.
This is a common saying, he says, as it is as foolish as it is common, and it is as foolish as it is common. There's no weight or truth to it, but men use it to excuse their crimes and the folly of their conduct. In former times, men might be more religious, use more self-denial, be more exemplary. This is all false.
Right.
In the former days, men were wicked, as they are now, and religion was unfashionable.
Yeah.
God also is the same now as he was then, as just, as merciful, as ready to help. There's no depravity in the age that will excuse your crimes, your follies, and your carelessness.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Men are men.
Yeah.
You know, bad things happen. You know, we look back to the way things used to be, the Revolutionary War, and there were men out there and they were doing things, but guess what? There were vices, there was greed, there were problems, there was oppression. There was oppression in every country that ever lived. Back to my history class. I mean, it's a series of reminders of every country trying to take over every other country.
Right.
Men killing each other to stand up on top for 10 minutes until another man kills him.
Right.
I mean, every year is just as bad as the last.
Right. I think this happens a lot in our political system too. Like, whatever party's in power, they're just talking about how awesome the world was when their party was in power, right?
Yeah. And that's why there's always a midterm change.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's so cyclical because whoever's in power now is always the guilty party.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Democrats, when Trump was in power, was like, this is awful. The good old days with Obama, you know, and now, you know, Biden's in office and it's like, oh, everything was so awesome when it was Trump. It's like,
same thing. This is a good nugget. This is an interesting verse.
It's interesting that he thought it was worth rebuking that. So it must have been something people have been doing for literally centuries.
Yeah. And it's just not wisdom. And I think that, I mean, what's ultimately to come from that? You're depressed.
Yeah.
You're unhappy. You're miserable. Cause you just go around thinking like, yeah, in the good old days. Like it really affects you today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's God's newsflash on this. You're just wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now there may be some aspects of today that are better, like you mentioned, but there are some aspects that are unchanged.
Yeah, right, right.
Like in the global sense.
Where you just think something different, even it's just in your mind.
And you know how we know it's true? Because people today are just as miserable.
Mm, yeah.
They're just as miserable as they were when they were picking cotton or, you know, going over on a ship or walking wherever everybody was miserable.
Mm.
All right. They wanted something that this life couldn't provide. And here we are with food and clothes and money at our fingertips. And everybody's up in arms. Can't handle it.
Right, right.
We got another nugget?
Yeah, I mean, you can't talk about nuggets in Ecclesiastes and not finish off with Solomon's conclusion. But it's kind of interesting when you think about how we've talked about words people speak and how we evaluate that or assess that and what words we speak or how we deal with what other people say. It's interesting when he closes out the book in chapter 12, verse 13, he says the conclusion when all has been heard. Like all the talking's been done. Everyone said everything that needed to be or that was going to be said, and you evaluate everything. All the information, like you've listened to all the news shows, you've read everything, you've heard the opinions. Like, when everything's been heard, here's what you got to take away. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13.
All right, I like it.
Because this applies to every person. This is universally applicable. This principle is ubiquitous for all men for all time. Fear God and keep his commandments.
How is this different than the New Testament saying the most important thing is to love God?
I mean, it's kind of the same idea. You mean like comparing fear versus love?
Yeah, because I mean, if you sum up the whole Bible in this one verse, fear God and keep his commandments, I mean, this is the wisdom of Solomon. Like this is what we need to do. How does that relate to what we would consider Jesus' statement? This is the greatest. These are the greatest commands.
Well, I think
because Jesus doesn't quote this verse, so connect him for me.
No, he doesn't. I mean, certainly when you think about the reality of judgment and who God is, the idea of fearing him, revering him, respecting him, and even in the New Testament, Jesus certainly elevates love, but he says in Matthew, was that 10:28, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. So fear is certainly one of those important principles with respect to God, I think, throughout the scriptures. But that certainly wouldn't negate that the love of God and to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind is the ultimate goal. I mean, we probably start out more on the fear side and hopefully end up more on the love side. And think about someone like Joe Phillips who recently passed and we remembered him and we sought to honor him. You know, he was probably someone who was more of like a fear God earlier in his life, but he was softer in his later days and more of a man that really loved God, I think. But in his earlier days, he probably was someone more motivated by fear. And I think as we grow and mature, we're more motivated by love. And neither one, hopefully, is ever fully negated, right? We don't ever just stop fearing God, or we shouldn't, but we don't fear him in the sense that we expect him to, you know, throw us into hell when he's told us, I promise you, I'm going to give you eternal life. I don't know. You share some of your thoughts. I'm just kind of
I'll ask a questions here, Todd.
I'm slipping into preacher mode here, so I'm going to turn the mic back to you.
No, it's good. I mean, I agree with all those things. I think when you look at the depth of the relationship we have for God and with God and God with us, one word just doesn't contain all the dynamics of that relationship. Right. And, you know, I was thinking of Hebrews 12, where God talking about fathers, you know, the relationship to father to son there, he describes that as a relationship of reverence.
Yeah. And respect. We had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them.
Yeah. And so that respecting of our parents, when my kids respect me, I view that as love. I mean, there's love there. It's not just fear.
Right. It's kind of a part of building that relationship or that love in the relationship is when you have respect, and respect and fear kind of go hand in hand.
Well, and it's a theme of Solomon's writings. I mean, in the beginning of Proverbs, I mean, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah, I thought about that a minute ago. Yeah.
And so when you think about that being the beginning of wisdom, it's not just that God is love and everything's okay and everything's fine. I mean, there's a little bit of nuance that's important for us to figure out, which is there's a side of God and a differentness about God we got to kind of stand back in awe of.
Right.
Because he's not just a buddy over there. I just tap on the shoulder when I need him and ask him for a hand with this.
Right, right.
He's the judge of all the earth that is going to, you know, we're going to stand before him and
right.
created everything. He's going to uncreate everything. He's going to recreate everything. There's a reverence due him. And so
right.
I think all these things, like you said, they kind of go hand in hand of, well, I'm going to keep his commandments too.
Right.
Which go along the lines of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's one of his commandments, right? That's the greatest command.
Right.
So keeping his commandments is going to fulfill what Jesus said were the greatest commandments in the New Testament. So
right.
I think when you do both of those, you demonstrate love. When I have this respect and this obedience, that comes from love,
right?
When I see a crooked, perverse government in the world, what's their response to it? Well, I don't love it.
Right.
And I don't really respect it. Like
right.
we don't have all of those.
Right.
We might be under the thumb and I might not try to get shot or killed, but that affection and those things aren't there. And so, you know, Solomon's wanting us to see this as holistically important in serving God.
Right.
Like just have this respect.
Right.
Sorry. I went into preacher mode too.
No, it's all good. I think we should just kind of close out with the reason he mentions fear here is verse 14. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. I mean, that reality is a little scary, but that's cause for fear. God's bringing it to judgment. Yeah, there'll be some good things. Don't bring those, but he'll also bring some evil things and whatever we're guilty of. But the things that are hidden are going to be brought to light. And for that reason, it's like, fear God.
Every secret thing.
Right.
Not a few of the secret things.
Yeah.
God caught a glimpse of one thing, like the all-knowing.
All of it. He's like pulling back the curtain. It's like, wow, this is a picture of who I truly am or who I truly was in my life. And, you know, we don't want to have to explain, oh, Lord, here's what happened. Here's what happened there, right? I mean, so, and the principle of fear certainly will motivate us to hopefully do better and be better.
We were in the Word tonight. These are more than little nuggets.
Well,
these were chicken fingers.
Fingers. That's an upgrade.
We got a 5-pack of fingers. That'd be like $12 at Zaxby's.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, those things are not cheap.
That's good. But I appreciate you sharing all this
stuff. Yeah, glad to share it. And, you know, it's the Word of God. And Ecclesiastes has some good ones. And we were just in Ecclesiastes recently, you know, after Joe's funeral. And, you know, there's a lot there.
Well, as always, thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate you. It's for you, and it's good for Todd and I to sit here anyway, even if the mics weren't working. But hopefully it's beneficial to you. Let us know. Give us feedback. If you want something else, see something else, need something else, let us know, because we're trying to benefit you in some way.
Yes,
think of
right.
it this way. If you don't give us something specific, we may just have a Tuesday night at the building class, and we'll make you go there. If this is meeting a need, let us know that. So I don't have to drag you out of your homes and stare at you in the face.
Tuesday night at the building, huh?
I'm just saying.
I hear you.
Whatever it takes.
I hear you.
To get the word in the brain.
I mean,
it's important.
In the brain and
we
on the heart.
We just talked about it. We got to fear God and keep his commandments. There's no shortcut.
No.
Got to know it. Got to know him
That's
and got to
right.
know what he wants. I
That's
mean, all
right.
those things. So appreciate your time tonight, Todd, and always.
God bless.